Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us to learn about Bitachon. Today is the 8th of Tammuz, Ches Tammuz Tav Shin Pei Gimel, June 27th, 2023. And I'm going to interrupt our regular programming, which is the Chafetz Chaim in the Machne Yisrael, in his encouragement to soldiers on the battlefield regarding Bitachon, because a story has happened to me very recently, and it finally completed a series. Let me explain. There have been three birds with whom I've had an encounter over the last 45 years, and each one affected me slightly differently. And we're going to learn about how Bitachon can help us with all types of encounters. So I'll start, as I said, about 4.5 decades ago. I was walking down the street in Monticello, New York, Lake Street, where I grew up, and I put my forearm out to look at my watch on my wrist, and plop, a bird left me a deposit on my arm. And being about 12 years old, I did find it to be humorous. And I think back now in retrospect that he had spot on aim. The Ribono Shel Olam actually announced that was going to happen. This is part of Bitachon, as we're going to see. The second story happened decades later, I'm not sure when, and I arrived somewhere and took off my hat. It was my davening hat, and lo and behold, it was redesigned. There was a wonderfully white kind of shade of, again, something that a bird had left me a present on my hat. That was, I remember, aggravating to me, but as we're going to see, part of Bitachon is that this is decreed in Shamayim. We'll prove it to you from Chazal very soon. You probably know it already. But the third part, and this absolutely sealed the whole narrative and the drama. This was very recent. I walked into my backyard here in Cincinnati. I was actually taking out my daughter's dog, little Cosmo, for a walk. And as I was strolling slowly, around 6 to 12 inches in front of me, there was an air-to-ground missile in the form of, again, a bird dropping. But this time I said to myself, wow, that was incredible. Perfect aim to miss me, Baruch Hashem. If I had been walking faster or came a little bit earlier, it would have been a bullseye right on me. So I have these three stories, and as you could see, first it got a little bit worse because it went from my arm, which had no sleeve on it at that time, it was a short sleeve, to an expensive hat, which was reparable but a bit aggravating. And then at the end, it missed me totally. Baruch Hashem, we're making progress. So I said to myself, we daven every day. Ribono Shel Olam, please don't bring us lowly day vizayon. We shouldn't experience disgrace, degradation, and it is a little degrading to have an animal leave a deposit on me or on my clothes. And part of our davening is that these things should not happen to us. That's part right after the Birchas HaShachar. But when it does happen, how does that work that it happened? Not only that, I have another question. What about when you're outside and you see one animal chasing another one? Cat chasing a mouse, and the cat actually wins, prevails, and claims his prey. What is going on? Is that something pathetic? Is it pitiful? Is it sad? How do we view human interaction with animals and animals with animals? It has everything to do with Bitachon. Because, have you ever heard the expression, I was having a really wonderful day, a great conversation, until a bird made on me, or until whatever else happened, I was scared by a barking dog. So what's going on? How do we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga, his management of our affairs through animals? It's not going to be necessarily a full-blown study of it, but two makoros came to mind. It hit me right away that when we learn in school, we learn Koheles, and in the 10th parak of Koheles, you're familiar with the pasuk about the snake? It's also in the Gemara, but we're going to learn a Medrash Rabbah. The Pasuk says in Koheles, Perek Yud, and it's in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Im Yisho Hanachash Belo Lachash. Now there's a lot of depth to this Pasuk and to what the Gemara does with it. But And it's a Gemara in Tainus. But we're going to look at a Medrash Rabbah. Will the snake bite without whispering? Yes, there is one pshat that I just want to share with you. It is not the main pshat, but it adds a bit of flavor to the whole thing. If the snake will bite, below lochash. That's because there was no snake charmer to whisper to it. Below lochash. That is why it happened. That is a lesson of hishtadlus, that a person can charm away the snake somehow. Hashem wants us to do some hishtadlus, some effort, to protect ourselves from harm. That's one explanation. But that's the topic of hishtadlus, of putting forth our efforts and our human intervention to try to secure parnasa and safety and good health for ourselves and proper relationships. That's the mammoth topic of hishtadlus, which, yes, we have compartmentalized and talked about, and it will come back again in Mirtzah Shev. And that's the pshat in Yisho Hanochash. If the snake will bite, it's below lochash, because nobody put forth an effort to try to stop it from doing so. That's about hishtadlus on the back burner for now. But there's a different pshat. That's today's explanation. It's a rhetorical question. Shlomo HaMelech is saying in Koheles, which he wrote toward the end of his life, Im Yishoch Hanochash, below Lochash, will the snake bite without it having been whispered to him in Shomayim? It's a rhetorical question. Do you think that a bird is going to drop droppings, a deposit on somebody's hat, if it wasn't decreed in Shomayim? No, it's wrong. It's not true. It only happens if it was in Shomayim decreed. This is telling us about Hashgacha Pratis, that animal intervention with people, it's all predestined. Here, what does the Medrash Rabbah say? Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said, My dechsiv, this that it's written, in yishok hanochash below lochash, will the snake bite without it having been ordained, whispered that he should do so in Shomayim. La'olam ein hanochash nosheich, a snake never ever bites. Elohim kain, unless nilchash lo milamala, unless it was indicated to him from above. It was whispered to him. It was told to him, Minash Shamayim, that means snakes and animals. They are instruments of Hashem's divine providence, of his Hashgacha Pratis. And of course, Baruch Hashem, we usually have very mild encounters with animals. We have a flock of geese crossing the road. Oh, it happened in Emily Village. Really, I think the geese are trying to take over the municipality. They very slowly and casually, in large numbers, will cross the road, delaying traffic for, I would say, it seems an eternity sometimes. This is part of the daily stress a person might have. Really, our point is to equip ourselves with patience and bitachon so that I will not be frazzled, turned inside out. What kind of road rage is that? I'm going to take it out on the geese? So it says it's not going to happen that they're going to delay traffic or that they're going to annoy me. Unless it's whispered from Shemayim. I was once walking to the shul I daven at, down to Shari Torah, and beautiful Amberley Village country, and there's, I see a goose family, Canadian geese. They're all over the place. And I'm just walking, doing my thing, headed to shul, and I see the mother is gazing at me, but she's annoyed. And I'm saying to myself, listen, I'm going to daven. What does she want with me? She has her little ones there. I'm keeping my distance. I'm behaving really well, and she's getting closer and closer, and then begins hissing. And also, not only hissing, she's headed toward me, like really, in a very intimidating fashion. And before I knew it, I know it sounds absolutely ludicrous, I was being chased by a mother goose. Mother goose is after me. I'm saying to myself, what did I do? Chas v'shalom, I would not hurt any of Hashem's creatures. Really, unless it's absolutely necessary, I have nothing against your little, I guess, gooselings. Very bizarre. That's Mihashamayim, it says. Nilchash lo milamala. Yeah, you're wondering what happened at the end. Baruch Hashem, I'm still here. Made it to shul. It's the only time it ever happened. Hopefully the last time. Be'ein ha'ari toref, the Medrash Rabbah says. A lion does not, chas v'shalom, rip up, let's say, chas v'shalom, a person, or maybe it's prey. Elohim kein nilchash lo milamala, unless it was whispered to it from above. That means whatever animals do to us, or if they annoy us, or they somehow get involved in our lives, It's from above. Ve'en ha-malchus miskar b'ibnei Adam. Oh, now we're ready. It's about the government. No government gets involved with people or bothers them. Unless it was whispered to it from above. So first it talks about animals, and then it talks about the government. So just like animals, what they do to us is controlled by Hashem. So it's the same thing with the government. Without getting into the whole government thing right now, I mean, people have bechira, don't they? So that's going to be a little bit difficult to swallow. Kings in many ways are different from everybody else, as we know. Now, a malchus, maybe it's not talking about our government so much as malchus, as we know, that the melech is different. I'm just thinking about the lesson of Orach Chaim in Parshas Mikkei. Tamelech is mishtan. Yishtane, the king is different in many ways. There it was talking about Yosef told Paro, when I interpret your dream, don't blame me if I give you a negative interpretation, even though that dreams come out, their outcome is dependent on the interpretation, according to the Gemara and Brachos, and most Shittos hold that way. But a king is different, meaning when it comes to a malchus, to a melech, it's kind of like Hashem will speak through and will determine outcomes through this king, and it's its own category. But the thing about the animals, as Rav Baruch Levi Epstein explains, it's a Gemara and Chulin, Dav Zayin Amabez, Ein Adam Noket Etzba Milamata Achemach Rizin Olav Milamayla. Very, very famous Gemara, a person doesn't stub his finger or his toe down here. Nobody hits himself. Nobody, you ever walk into the side of a table? Oh, I knocked it to the end of the table. You ever walk into a door by accident? Chas v'shalom, hopefully it shouldn't happen to anybody. But it says it's decreed in Shamayim that it happened. There's no reason to get angry or upset or anxious or aggravated. Okay, that was the decree. Oh, validating our feelings, that hurt. Yes, that did not feel comfortable. Yes, that's difficult, but I have to look at the whole picture and be able to move on. He says, this is what it means in the Gemara Ksubos. The Gemara Ksubos says that the four misos bezdin, the death penalties that were in, that used to occur when we had a Sanhedrin, they actually, of course, are not administered today, but they are actually carried out through quote-unquote natural means. And one of them is a person who was chayef straifa, chas v'shalom. We will not be talking a lot about Misas Bezdin, about the death penalties, but a person who was supposed to die by burning, which there are very few averos in the Torah that bring that death penalty, that capital punishment. But in this day and age, it says either the person falls into a fire, nofel b'dleika, or nachash makisho, or a snake bites him, because the venom going through the bloodstream, chas v'shalom, that is like it's a burning sensation. So it's like a fire. So what is Rav Baruch Levi Epstein telling us as he explains this Medrash Rabbah? That, again, we can't say that if someone dies one of those ways, that, oh, he did something that's chayiv streifa for sure. No, we don't work backwards like that. But the Gemara does say that if a person did something that warrants the death penalty of streifa, which they were in force at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it says a snake will be the instrument of punishment, and the burning will be the same effect as that internal burning, or a fire that the person falls into or dies from, chas v'shalom. Well, what's the point we're learning here? Bezehu mipnei shemaramzin lo milamala. This is because they hint to the animal from above that it happens that way. So I'm thinking of the three birds. Remember, we started today with the tale of my three birds, and each one of them landed his deposit in a different place. That was literally surgically precise based on Shemayim. By the way, there's a positive also, like the one that I was saved from because it was 6 inches in front of me. That could happen to us also. Deer, you live where there are deer? Of course, there's tons of them around here. And I discovered that in Cleveland, there are also deer roaming around. I noticed that a couple of days ago. So those bring a lot of pleasure to people when we see them. We see the niflos, habore, the beauty of Hashem's creation. That is one type of gratification we have. That's coming from Shemayim, that I get to see that. That gives me visual gratification. Sviyas ayin, that I can serve Hashem with more simcha. And then, of course, there are the encounters to avoid, like when they run out on the road in front of us. So we have to be careful and keep the speed limit. Everything is so intertwined. It's a web of interaction between all different levels of existence, but it's from Shamayim. What is the point I'm telling myself? That this is something that's Hashgacha Pratis, and there's no reason to be anxious or upset about it, but to arm myself with enough bitachon and patience and to have the proper perspective that I will not be fazed by this. My mood won't be ruined by it. This reminded me, though, of a Radak in Tehillim, because we just said before, so what's the conclusion? Animals have free will or they don't have free will? Well, I think we just realized that according to this Medrash Rabbah, based on the Pasuk in Koheles, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph, they do not have free will because it says that no animal will do something unless it was decreed in Shamayim. Those are animals to people. That's what it seems here. Although the Ari Toref, the lion ripping up its prey, is that animal to animal also? Now you might say, wait a minute, I thought I like called into a bitachon bad, didn't I? Yes, yes, you're in the right place. We're all in the right place here. But we're trying to broaden our horizons and look at the whole universe and the whole world and see how far-reaching and inclusive is Hashem's divine providence and his intervention and his management of everything. It's including the animal world and for sure the animal world's interaction with people. And then there's the situation where we see one animal hurting another one, and we say, oh, that's terrible, oh, the poor thing. We have to have rachmanis, of course we have to. We're not allowed to harm animals. We say tsar bali chayim, that's the oraisa, it's a machlokus. But we seem to hold that it's the oraisa. I've seen it in Shuvas, in Halacha. But you look in Tehillim, there's a Radak, and if you'll notice in Kuf Mem Hei, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and we said it today in Ashrei, that Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav. Hashem is righteous in all of his ways. Something to remember every second. Whatever Hashem is doing to me and what he's doing with me, it's righteous, it's fair. The chassid b'chol ma'asav, more than that, Hashem goes beyond what one would expect, beyond what we call the shuras hadin, beyond what a human being would think is necessary. B'chol ma'asav, that's chassidus in all of Hashem's action. What is it telling us? Beautiful Radak. Everything in the world to do with bitachon here. The Radak says, b'tzedek u'b'yosher, with righteousness, with straightness, with uprightness. No sen l'chol echad macholo. Hashem gives to every creature, not just human beings, gives the food to every living thing. Now let's stop here for a second. Where did we have this before within the last year? Trivia question from the Bitachon Vad. Anybody remember? Yes, we talked about Parnassa, one of the most pressing issues we have is Parnassa. Where is my food going to come from? Well, we already learned, the Gemara says, Hashem is zon mikarnei re'emim ad beitzei kinim, that Hashem feeds from the largest animals, the horns of re'emim. Remember, the re'em was a water buffalo or an aurochs, whatever different opinions we said, the horns of that animal, meaning that huge animal, that humongous creature. Hashem feeds those animals ad beitzei kinim, till the eggs of life. That means the smallest organisms are fed daily by Hashem. There's enough food for everybody. I heard that with some pets, it is so expensive to feed them. Hashem has all the money, all the food. He sends the food to all these animals. What about the wild animals? That's what the Orach HaTzadikim was saying. Remember, he quoted that Gemara. That was in the Orach HaTzadikim was a few months ago. So the Radak explains when it says, Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav, that Hashem is righteous in all of his ways, v'chassid b'chol ma'asav, and he's pious beyond the quote-unquote letter of the law, in all of his actions. So the Radak explains, I'm reading you the Radak in Tehillim, Kuf Mem Hei, it's on Pasuk Yud Zayin. He gives food to everyone. Anybody here who has any doubts, am I going to have enough money? Will I have enough food? Will I be able to go shopping? What about inflation? Will I have enough money through inflation? Yes, the answer is yes. Remember the Pasuk in Treyaser? Li ha-kesev, v'li ha-zav. Hashem says, I have all the silver and gold. How much silver and gold and precious commodities and materials are out there? How much money is out there? Hashem says, I have all of it. It's the Pasuk in the Treyaser in Chagai. So the Radak tells us, there's enough for everybody to go around. But we have a problem. What about the food chain? Well, the food chain, what do you mean? That's not a contradiction. That's exactly what we said, isn't it? Every animal has enough food. Yeah, except for one thing. What about the prey? The prey has been eaten up by the predator. Achai toreth es achai. How is Hashem's world fair if one animal rips up the other one and eats it? Kamo hachasul le'achbor, like the cat and the mouse. V'chein ha'aryeh, what about the lion, v'hadob and the bear, v'hanomer and the leopard? V'shar hachayos, the rest of the wild animals, ha'ochlos chayos acheros, they eat up other animals. So the poor thing, the prey, right? Doesn't it seem to be pathetic? What am I supposed to say for him? Oh, yeah, he has plenty of food. Yeah, but he's dead now. He's been ripped up. Don't worry, it's going to be explained. How is it fair? Why are we learning it? Because I know that Hashem is fair and square all across the board at every level. It's a cosmic truth that Hashem is fair. For sure he's fair to us human beings. V'chein b'ma'ofafim. How about the birds? Ha'ofos ha'dorsim ofos acherim. There are some birds that prey on other birds. We know about birds of prey. All you have to do, open up Parshas Shmini, open up Parshas Re'eh. You'll see there are tons of birds, well, numbers of birds that are birds of prey. Hakol tzedek me'ito. It's all fair. Hashem is only good. He's only fair in everything that he does. Kigam l'chayos u'l'opos hanitrofin. Because even the wild animals and birds who are prey, who are consumed. What about those who are consumed? Those that were consumed? No sein lahem gam kein machalam b'chayehem. Until they were consumed, they had plenty to eat. It's the same thing with human beings. We're here for hopefully a very long time. Be'ezras Hashem, we have enough to eat. We have everything we need for that whole time. That's also part of bitachon. Ella tebehagiyam kitzam. I'm reading you the Radak. When their time comes, lamus to die, gazar mikodem. Hashem decreed from before. Remember, this is how Hashem whispers to the animals that it's time to do whatever it's time for them to do. Shetiye misasam, that sometimes it's time for the animal to die. He says the time for an animal's death is also decreed. Pa'amim ba'akas chayos acherim. Sometimes it's through being killed by other animals. Pa'amim yigzor, sometimes Hashem decrees. Sheyamus misas atzmo, that the animal just dies what we call a natural death. The echad hu lenitrof sheyamus misas atzmo o ayde acher. He says there's no difference in the animal world. If the animal died by being preyed upon and it was food for the predator, remember that part of it? The predator had food by preying on that prey. Or it could be that it's time for that animal to die by itself. Hashem has everything planned. It's all orchestrated. Comes along the Radak and says, there's a huge confusion here. Confusion has broken loose, folks. Ben hachachamim, among the scholars, zok the Radak, ki mehem omrim, because now we have to talk about something else. And you knew that it was coming. Do these animals have free will or not? We already learned earlier that they don't have free will. Imisho chanachash below lachash? Shlomo HaMelech said it in Koheles. We read it before. Do you think a snake is going to bite if it wasn't whispered to him from beforehand? He says, some scholars, says the Radak, state, ki kishetore hachasul ha'achbor, ba'ari ha'keves, that when a cat eats a mouse, or when a lion eats a lamb, vandom lamb, things like that, hu onesh hanitrof me'es okel yisparach. What do you think about that, huh? The Radak says, some chachamim claim that actually the prey is suffering a punishment when he gets preyed upon. Umehem omrim, some of them say, ki ein gemul va'onesh b'chol minei achayim. Others say, no, there is no reward and punishment among animals, elo la'adzim b'vad, except for people. So which is it? The Radak is going to state his opinion. Is there free will? Is there punishment? It's really talking about punishment and reward. We know there is no free will. That we explained before, that animals do not have bechira. But what about reward and punishment? When the mouse is eaten by the cat, is that mouse being punished or it's not being punished? He says it's a machlokus in the chachamim. says the Radak. So the Radak has a compromise solution. Ba'anachnu nomar, we will say, Yesh gemul va'onesh, there is reward and punishment, l'shar mine ba'alei chayim, to animals, be'esek ha'adam, when it comes to their encounters and interaction with humans, there is reward and punishment. Meaning, when animals are benevolent to people, they will be rewarded, even if they didn't have free will. Now, how can an animal be rewarded if it didn't have free will? He doesn't deserve reward, does he? Now, that we already know. To teach us a lesson, first of all, that we should have gratitude toward everything. Animals, inanimate objects like Moshe Rabbeinu, had gratitude towards the sand and to the river. We know the story about the Makos. He had floated down the river, so he couldn't strike the river for blood, the Nile. The sand had helped him, the earth, to bury the Mitzri, so therefore he couldn't strike the sand for the Makos. But when they react or interact with each other, there is no reward and punishment. So in other words, even without Bechira, let's make it very simple. There's no free will. We already established that earlier today. But there is reward and punishment. First of all, to teach us gratitude toward animals, that if they get rewarded, for sure, we have to have Hakoras HaTov to them and to human beings. To teach us also, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Shechar Kol Briya, in case the first one wasn't clear, to teach us that Hashem gives reward and punishment to every creature, even if He decreed that it would do what it would do. So they don't have free will. We already said that from Koheles. But in Tehillim we learned that they do have reward and punishment in their interactions with people. Again, their reward is to show that Hashem does not hold back the reward and punishment from any creature. Kal v'chomer, all the more so. We will be rewarded when we act the way we're supposed to, when we do our best. Even though Hashem decreed on that animal, that the animals, remember when we left Mitzrayim, as the Radak explains, animals are rewarded. First of all, we had the chamor. You know, there's only one non-kosher animal whose firstborn has to be redeemed, and that's the chamor, that's the donkey. That's because they helped us when we came out of Mitzrayim. And also, what about the dogs are rewarded? Remember, it says in Parshas Mishpatim, it says, "Ubasar basar trefa lo sechelu." Don't eat trefa meat from an animal that died and was ripped up. You're supposed to give it to the dog as a reward that they did not bark when we came out of Mitzrayim. So we know that just like the chamor, the donkey is rewarded because they carried our loads, so therefore they have a special halacha of redeeming their firstborns. It's the same thing that the dogs are rewarded because they did not bark during Makos Bechoros when we're getting ready to leave Mitzrayim. Because Hashem does not hold back the reward of every creature, even the animals that don't have free will. Hashem gives them their food, rewards them when they have interactions with people. This is what the Radak states. What does all this teach us? And by the way, that's part of Chassid B'chol Ma'asav. Chassid, that's the clincher. Hashem goes beyond what we would say the letter of the law. That's beyond what would be demanded of a person, let's say, or expected. They had no free will to be benevolent and nice to us, and Hashem still rewards them, even though they don't deserve it. Chassid b'chol ma'asav. In summary, we learned today that animals, in the tale of the three birds that I interacted with over the decades, animals don't have free will. It's decreed upon them what they're supposed to do, so it should not faze us or aggravate us. If we have an encounter like what I described, it's all from Hashem. Hashem is watching over us. He's controlling everything. They do get rewarded. So we learn that Hashem doesn't hold back the reward from any creature. And that's a great inspiration for us also to remember that Hashem rewards us. And they have to keep in mind that yesod, that big foundation, because the Oruch HaTzadikim, we're going to get back to him soon, Amir Hashem, in a number of weeks, maybe months, says that if we keep in mind that we always get rewarded, Hashem is watching everything we do, and He takes everything into account, all of our efforts. Hashem absolutely is fair and gives us reward for everything, especially when we have bitachon and emunah. Thank you so much for joining us. Mirth Hashem, next week we'll continue with another story in the beginning, and we'll continue with the Chafetz Chaim Sefer as we get to that. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.